Okay, everyone. Now, I know it is a Sunday. I'm going to get Kathy up here in a moment if everybody doesn't be quiet. See, that does it. I know it is a Sunday. But, we are on ACB Radio. And who knows, there might be some folks up there in the state of Washington. So I'm going to ask you, are you ready? I knew I'd get that response. Welcome one and all to the business meeting of the Spring Convention of the California Council of the Blind. Okay. We will begin with our invocation this morning from one of our own, standing member for, probably more years than I've been.
30 years.
Ms. Gussie Morgan.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Shall we bow our heads? Great eternal Father, we thank you for this day, for the very breath that we breathe. We thank you for making it possible for us to be here. And Lord, we thank you for everything that we've heard and all the material that we are able to carry back to others. Lord, we ask you to bless every committee, member, and leadership, chairman, the board member, our president, and all of those that work so hard at the office, Lord. We pray for the members in general, those that are here, those that are unable to get here. We pray for the sick and afflicted, and we pray for all those that desire to come and are just not financially able to. We pray for all of the listeners out there. We hope that many of them are CCB members that are blind. Lord, we ask you to touch this morning our president in a special way. Renew his strength. And Lord, all employees, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gussie. It's nothing like having one of our own to do our invocations. Okay, we will begin. Let me make a couple of announcements regarding the hotel. First, there have been a couple of instances we've heard of where tax was charged. Make sure you are not charged for tax or your rate above the $80 rate. So be sure and check your bills when you're checking out. It's really your responsibility, but we don't want you to get overcharged. Second, if there are any of you that are staying beyond today, you do not have the do not have the ACB subsidy. So
CCB.
No, you don't have the ACB subsidy either. I guess you go to the ACB president, maybe he'd allow it, but I'm not so sure. Anyway, so remember that as well. Okay, let's now go to our secretary for business meeting minutes. Let's hear it for Rhonda King.
Okay, there was a recommendation by the board of directors that we take the October 16, 2005 business meeting minutes that were not available at last spring's convention because I had to leave, there was an emergency. And the April 9th, 2006 business meeting minutes were not available at the fall convention. So it's been recommended by the board that we take those two sets of minutes and publish them in the Blind Californian instead of reading them at this meeting. And it was also suggested that we bring the recommendation to the general membership here in attendance today and ask them to accept the board's recommendation to publicize those minutes instead of reading them.
Okay, do I hear a motion? Yes, let me give interpretation to that. We can, at the next convention business meeting in the fall, take these up, and if anybody wants to submit corrections, they can do so at that time. Okay, there's been a motion and a second. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carried. Thank you. Abstentions. Forgot to ask for those. Okay, the motion is carried. Thank you. Go ahead, Rhonda.
Okay, so...
Question?
Yes?
Are they going to be in the same issue as the Blind Californian, or can they be in consecutive issues?
I guess that's up to the between okay, Rhonda please. And the editor. I would hope so too,
right.
but I'm not.
Well, it would seem too that if we didn't have them in one issue, then it would be hard to have corrections made by October.
Yeah. But that decision is really not. You know, let's let the editor and the secretary work that out.
Right. Okay, so I'm now going to read the CCB business meeting minutes for October 29th, 2006. The meeting was called to order by President Jeff Tom at 9:05 a.m. Jeff announced that passports are now required on cruises to Mexico, and therefore those who plan to cruise to Ensenada in May, they should be making arrangements to get passports. Jeff thanked the convention committee and all those who helped make the convention the success it was. Due to a slight snafu, the reading of the October 16, 2005 and April 9, 2006 business meeting minutes were tabled. Peter Pardini gave his last report as treasurer, as CCB treasurer, for the period from January 1st, 2006 to the present. Revenues totaled $2,097,625 and expenses totaled $309,465. Other revenues totaled $34,424 and other expenses totaled $19,850. This included an expenditure of $14,574 from the Ellen Murphy Fund. Less expenses totaled $2,734 to the good. Total assets amount to $1,606,229. A motion was made and seconded to accept the report, the treasurer's report, and the motion passed. A constitution and bylaws report was given by Roger Peterson, chair of that committee. He said there were no amendments recommended at this convention. He also said that although the day and time of the meeting was changed, low attendance was still experienced. A motion was made and seconded to accept the report, and it passed. Lucy Greco, chair of resolutions, gave the resolutions committee report. There were a total of 10 resolutions, and all but three passed. 2006 B1 regarded in-service awareness training, and it passed. 2006 B2 related to procurement, this passed. 2006 B3 was about SB 87. It passed. 2006 B4 dealt with large print materials for K through 12. It passed. 2006 B5 regarded paratransit eligibility. This resolution was referred back to the committee for consideration at the spring convention. 2006 B6 called for stricter definition of legal blindness. This resolution failed. 2006 B7 related to vocational training at OCB, and it was decided that further research was recommended. 2006 B8 regarded MTA, and it passed. 2006 B9 and 2006 B10 were the awards, the appreciation awards, to all the volunteers and the hotel and its staff. A motion was made and seconded to accept the report, and it passed. Let's see. Details of the resolutions can be found in the resolutions report in, of course, the Blind Californian. Okay, Dan Kaiser gave a legislative report for 2006. He also said that CCB should become aware of future trends relating to accessible cell phones, alignment of emotional animals, self-certifying individuals for ADA services, quiet cars, IHSS improvement bills, accessible K through 8 textbooks, BEP operated rest areas, that's a business enterprise program, accessibility for veterans in veterans' homes, getting consumers on policy boards, and accessible voting methods. The legislative report was accepted. Kathy Skivers reported on the history and awards committees. Informing everyone that the gathering of CCB history is nearing its end. She also stated that the awards committee will be looking forward to receiving Nomination letters for the spring. Anyone having information to be included in the history of CCB should contact Kathy at 510-357-1986. Bernice Kandarian, Chair of Publications, thanked Mike Keithley for the great work he is doing on the Blind Californian and said they're hoping to see more articles of originality submitted. Jane Cardis, Chair of the Advocacy Committee, said they continue to work on issues of discrimination against blind and visually impaired individuals. She said to contact the committee if they have issues of concern. Rhonda King, co-chair of the membership committee, said a lot of great ideas came out of the meeting, or the membership seminar, sorry, and hopes many chapters will integrate these ideas into their own efforts for membership recruitment and retention. The chapter winning the membership incentive award will be notified after the convention, and it will also be announced in the Blind Californian. There was no old or new business brought forth. The meeting adjourned at 11:10 a.m.
Okay.
Respectfully submitted, Rhonda King, Secretary.
Thank you very, very much. Do we have any clarifications, amendments, deletions, etc.?
Sure.
I heard both Roger and Bernice. Yeah, I'm not going to get in the middle of that one. You guys have to fight that out yourself.
I think that for the minutes to be complete, they really should include all business conducted at the convention, including the elections, and they probably should include, they could include by reference, I guess, which they sort of did, they read the resolutions, the actual text of the resolutions, but they ought not, probably shouldn't be referring to the Blind Californian. That's not really the official record of the resolutions. I don't know. But I think it's really important that the credentials and the elections and other things that occurred at other times than Sunday morning be included in the minutes of the convention.
Roger, for the ease of the situation, do you think that you could get together with Rhonda sometime after the convention, you know, call, have a phone call, and, you know, give a little better idea of what we need to do to be more complete in our business minutes?
Okay. Roger, did you hear that, dear?
Yeah, I certainly would do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, that what I was going to say, Rhonda, is that you said details of the resolutions would be in the Blind Californian, and that's only a summary. And when I've referred to that summary on occasion, it's very inaccurate. So you either need to say that it's a summary, or that you can get the actual copy of the actual resolutions from the office.
Okay. Any other discussion on? Any other discussion on the minutes? Hearing none, do we have a motion to accept the minutes?
Mr. President, I would move the adoption of the minutes with the addition of the elections, credentials, and resolutions.
Okay.
I have a question.
So I guess I have a question, too. First, we need a second. Would that mean that you'd have to have a copy of the resolutions appended to the minutes? Because part of the problem I have with that, I'm totally in agreement with the credentials and the elections. But when it comes to the copy of the resolutions, they're not finally formatted until after the amendments are put in and everything else until afterwards. So how would that actually work? Well, go ahead and clarify. I'm just trying to be clear.
Well, what I said was, what you can say is that a summary is going to be in the Black California.
Well, I did say at the end of the details of the resolutions could be found in the Blind California.
But that's not true.
That's not accurate?
No, it's only a summary. It's not in there.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Kathy, are you... we can probably... Okay, they're going to get you to a microphone. So, Chris, are you? Is your motion then inclusive of Bernice's wording?
Well, that's
wording?
Fine. Sure, sure.
We'll work it out. You know.
Mr. President?
Mr. President, I'm here. I think that to attach a copy when the resolutions are finally done to the minutes would be a good idea. And I think when we reference it to the Blind Californian, we should maybe say it can be found in, a summary can be found in whatever, like the spring or the fall or the summer or whenever, so people would know which Blind California to look in. But I think it's unrealistic to try to put the minutes into the secretary's report. We don't want to read through all those things again. So we could say that they will be attached to the minutes and then attach it. That's what we do in Bayview. We attach that to attach copies like treasury reports and other things. We don't expect the secretary to do that whole thing.
Right.
Okay.
The important thing is that the organization needs to have an official record of all that it does.
Okay, someone else wanted the floor, and I don't know, yeah.
The one question I had, I know that Chris's motion is to include elections or, naming who the elections. I don't recall in the tapes that I listened to on that meeting, I don't recall that being reported on that morning. Otherwise, they probably would have been included.
Well, that's
what
a
I'm
very
saying.
Good point.
What I said was, though, was that all business conducted at the convention needs to be part of the minutes, and that includes the elections, whether they're reported on Sunday morning or not.
We can certainly come up with that information.
Otherwise, we'll forget who was elected. People are always asking me, Bernice, and other people, who's up for election today this year?
No, we can do that's easy enough to.
The banks and people like that need to see minutes that tell who the treasurer is.
That's right. No, that's a totally, totally good point. Okay. Hearing no more discussion, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions. Motion carries. Minutes as amended, and we'll work with Rhonda to make sure that those amendments are included. Okay. Treasurer's report. Let me bring on Chris Gray. First, I want to thank Chris for two things. Dan Kaiser over here is streaming ACB Radio this morning.
Beautiful.
We're pleased to be on. And Marlena Lieberg, who is not here, she had to leave this morning, just did an outstanding job this weekend. Let's hear it from Marlena. Thank you to Dan. And I want to publicly thank Chris for nudging me a couple times and saying, look, we've got to get back onto ACB Radio. And so we have finally done it. And it's a good thing we did. And listenership is apparently up. So we are thrilled to be streaming out to all of you in ACV Radio land. And I also want to thank Chris for being very proactive in his role as treasurer and trying to implement various methods of decreasing our costs and enhancing our revenue side. And with that, I'll turn it over to Treasurer Chris Gray.
Thank you, Jeff, very much. And I may have nudged, but you made it happen. So I think we're doing well in many ways in CCB. And a few of you were probably at the board meeting on Sunday. On Sunday. It's Sunday now. That's right. You know me and Sunday morning. Some of you were probably at the board meeting last Thursday evening and heard this report. It'll be a bit of a repeat, but sometimes repetition is a good thing. I'll make the report, and then with Jeff's indulgence, entertain any questions you might have. I want to begin by thanking the membership for electing me as treasurer, and I want to thank Peter Pardini, who has done just a tremendous job. You couldn't ask for a better transition than Peter has been providing me, and he continues to assist in some of the visual tasks, and I really appreciate that, and I know you do too. Okay. Let's begin by talking about 2006. And in 2006, we had a total revenue being defined as activities that made money due to our efforts, the efforts of others, variety shows, vehicle donation, and so forth. We had a total revenue from these kinds of activities of $320,397. And that's wonderful. We should all be proud of that. And no matter what else I might say or might be said this morning, that's a great figure. And don't forget, you know, we basically pulled in $320,000+ in 2006. Now, about our expenses, there's always that other side of the coin, you know. And our total expenses for 2006 were $421,996. So our expenses over our revenue was a negative $101,688. We have some work to do there. But there is some good news. We have a category called other revenue. This is passive income from interest and things like that. We did well last year. Always be happy when the stock market rises and interest rates are good. Our other income for 2006 was $112,163. Now there's this other expense category as well, but it wasn't bad, $345. And that left us in other expenses and other revenue with a total addition of $111,818. When all is said and done, you look at all the income and all the expenses for 2006, we were in the black. In other words, we got more money ultimately than we spent by $10,129. Okay, let me have your attention, please. And for 2007, thus far, our total present revenue is $48,512. Expenses are $95,952. So you're looking at a situation where thus far we have spent $47,440 more than we have made. We do have total other revenue of $14,454, total other expenses $45, and that nets out to a negative $33,030 thus far in 2007. The board adopted a budget for the whole of 2007. It is a deficit budget, and we will do everything we can to make that deficit as small as possible. But I warn you now that it is a deficit budget. CCB is dipping heavily into our reserves to fund this year. We cannot go on doing that year after year. And we're focusing a lot of attention on finding new sources of revenue and reducing expenses where we can. Ladies and gentlemen, that's my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions for Chris?
Yeah, Chris?
Yes.
With the move to Sacramento, how much will the rent be every month?
The rent in Sacramento is more than we paid in Hayward. I don't have the exact figure in front of me. What would I say, Jeff? Would it be fair to say it's maybe a 5% increase?
Something like that.
What are we paying in Hayward?
The rent itself is, would, the difference would be 2082 in Sacramento and 1848 in Hayward. However, in Hayward we pay more. We pay 213 in utilities and 41 in garbage, plus the insurance will be higher. But so those are all in Hayward. So those, you have to factor all those little things in.
Mr. President?
Yes. Yes, yes, that's right. There's also $100 a month in parking at Sacramento. And there's also two free months. The first couple months are free in Sacramento.
Mr. President?
Yes.
Is this recall over the life of the over the three-year period of time, we'll be saving approximately $3,000. In rental costs.
Okay, that's not that. Yeah, we're not including, of course, the $11,000 moving expenses. We're just talking about rent.
I think, in fairness to everybody, and without necessarily opening a debate, which really should not be open at this point, because the paperwork is signed, the decision has been made. It would be fair to say that we are spending somewhat more money in Sacramento, and just leave it at that.
Okay. Any other questions? Hearing none. Do I have a motion to accept the treasurer's? Do I have a second?
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. X up. Abstentions. You know, Kathy, I have another three conventions, and by the last one, I'll bet you I get those abstentions exactly right.
Maybe I'll start abstaining every time.
There you. Thank you. I would like that every time. I'd like that.
We used to have somebody who voted no all the time, regardless of what the item was.
That's right. Okay. We are now on to our. Am I calling you vice chair or am I calling you chair, Mr. Peterson? Whatever.
I don't know. Acting chair, whatever.
Acting chair. Roger Peterson, Constitution and Bylaws Committee.
Yeah, at the last convention, I indicated that I preferred not to continue as chair, but that I would continue as a member of the Constitution and Bylaws Committee, and I indicated that Jerry Kunstler had expressed interest and enthusiasm for becoming chair of the Constitution Committee, and that I thought that the president should give him his wish. And that happened. Jerry was named chair of the Constitution Committee, and then he had the impertinence to get cancer. And he's not at this convention because he's been undergoing chemotherapy and so on. We hope that he will be, and he hopes, more to the point, that he will be better and that he will be at the next convention and that he will be presiding over the Constitution and Bylaws Committee. Meanwhile, I agreed to preside over it at this convention, and we had a meeting at 4 o'clock on Friday, and the meeting was attended by some of the members of the committee, Audrey Hebner and Mary Beth Randall and Al Beigler, and also some other folks, Brandy Morgan from Bakersfield and John Ross from Bakersfield and Joanne Beigler and, let's see, am I missing anyone? Anyway, we had a bit of discussion about how we should proceed, and of course, one of the reasons we met was that we feel that it's important for the committee to be there at the appointed hour that it says in the program in case people want to talk, in case any member of the organization wants to talk to the committee. And so we were there for that purpose, but also while we were there, we discussed how to proceed and what we should do and so forth, and we agreed that we would wait till the fall, or we would, you know, we would monitor Jerry's condition and hope for the best and hope that he's here in the fall to assume the mantle of the chair and to take it in the direction, take the committee in whatever direction he decides to take it. But meanwhile, we were thinking that it's probably time to publish the Constitution and make it available, make the current one available to members and chapters and affiliates and so forth. And it was suggested by the members of the committee who were there that we discuss with the board, and I was thinking possibly with the Publications Committee as well. I'll be in trouble if I don't include the Publications Committee. The possibility of making the Constitution, or producing the Constitution in the various formats that folks, or media that folks like to might like to have, including at least Braille and large print and electronic. And it was also suggested that perhaps we look into the possibility of publishing it in a loosely format and beginning and ending articles on pages, so that when you change the something in the Constitution, you can just replace pages. So that's going to take some thought and some design work maybe. And so, but it was suggested to the by the committee that we discuss that with the leadership of the board, see whether we can do that. That's basically all we did, and so that's the sum and substance of my report. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. President.
Yes.
Roger, it is likely that you will have some work in the fall. We had some discussion at the Resolutions Committee over the weekend. I think that the deadline for submission of resolutions is stated there. We didn't have the bylaws to hand, and most of us couldn't accurately recall what that deadline is, but we think that there may need to be some adjustment to that. We received a resolution yesterday late afternoon in the Governmental Affairs Committee, which we were happy to address, but we think that perhaps we might need to clarify the deadline for submittal and publicize that as well. So you may have some work in the fall.
No, 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 no. It's, we don't have that kind of I'm looking. I don't even know that we have it in the bylaws, but nonetheless, it's possible.
Well.
No, no, no. We're not talking about. We're talking about resolutions now. Yeah.
Well, this, of course, precisely points out the need for the publication of the Constitution and it's being made readily available to
people
to use it.
I will say, though, that you all, this is some good ideas, Roger. Thank you to you and your group yesterday. And we can certainly just explore with the board any modifications to the publications process for Constitution amendments and bylaws. But in the interim, of course, anyone is free to call the office and get in their format of choice a copy of the Constitution and bylaws. It may not be in the form that would be ultimately hoped for, but you certainly can and should avail yourself of that right as a member.
And I think the current Constitution is on the web.
Yes.
But I have not looked at, what the office is passing out as the Braille and the large print to make sure that it's current and error-free and all that sort of thing. So that may be something we can do, too.
Mr. Chair?
Okay. Is this on Constitution?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I can't get to a mic, but I'll talk really loud. If it's accurate on the web, I guarantee you Ed will have the accurate issue in the office because I get the one that Ed has. Mm-hmm. So it's accurate.
Now
it's the latest one, and it's a good copy.
If we have made any changes since 2003, we need to incorporate them because... And
the
I think
change,
we have one.
There's a change in spring 2006
yes.
that changes a 3 to a 5.
Somebody needs to send it to the office, please.
Yeah. All right, we will get it done.
I thought we had.
Okay. Is there a motion to accept the report of the Constitution Bylaws Committee? Motion and second. Any discussions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Yeah.
I like that. Thank you. Didn't need it that time, but I got it. Okay. All right. Want to acknowledge a couple people before I bring on our resolutions committee chair, because things tend to get crazy at the end. I want to acknowledge all the many, many volunteers, some of whom were in the room, some of whom were not, but and some of whom were here earlier this weekend, but especially Mary Lou and Pinky, let's hear it for them. Let's hear it for Sarah, who has led the Pioneers and is our local favorite. From Sacramento, we love Sarah. And I want to also acknowledge first, and I wouldn't mind having them actually say a few words if they would, because we never hear from them. They're always behind those mics over there. First, and boy, are we pleased to have her coming on to take over from Rick. She is sharp, she is dedicated, she's got a lot of passion. We are just so impressed. Teresa Santiago, can you say a few words to us? Okay.
I'm just glad to be here, and thank you for accepting me and making me feel like I'm part of your family, and I'll do my best if there's anything that I can do to help you guys here, and anything, just let me know that makes it easier for you guys. Be willing to help you.
Thank you very much. Therese is great. We're going to bring on Rick just in a little later. Okay. Here's a friend of mine. We've laughed. We've, made mean remarks about one another. He moved out of Sacramento to work for that evil company, here's my good friend and outstanding resolutions chair, and a colleague of mine in the ACB Resolutions Committee now, Gabe Griffith.
Okay, can everyone hear me?
Yep.
All right, thank you, Jeff, for that. Before we get started with the resolutions, I'd just like to thank a few people. The members of the Resolutions Committee that were here this weekend and put in a lot of time, Ken Metz, Robert Wendt, Mitch Pomerantz, Dirk Neihardt, Linda Perel, Jean Lozano, Winifred Downing. Let's see, Robert and Linda was their first resolutions meeting, I believe. And Gene was able to join us yesterday, fresh off the plane and full of jet lag. So appreciate Gene coming and joining us. Winifred had some other commitments this weekend, but she still joined us for a while on Friday and gave some good suggestions and helped out. People that dropped in and helped out, Dan Kaiser, Dan Kaiser, Mary Beth Randall, Jerry Arakawa, Trish Leitz, and Christy Crespin. I'm sure I'm missing some, but thank you to everybody that came in and helped out. And especially thanks to Donna Pomerantz, who, even though she's not on the committee, was there pretty much the whole time. So thank you. When we needed something or needed to find someone, Donna was very good about hunting people down for us. So
ciphering strange handwriting.
Yes, and ciphering Sanskrit. So I appreciate everybody's help. And with that, let's move on to Resolution 2007A1, which deals with guide dog access. And this was submitted to us by Guide Dog Users of California. Whereas blind and visually impaired individuals using guide dogs frequently face numerous obstacles when traveling, including human interference, animal attacks, and outright discrimination by operators of public conveyances and proprietors of commercial establishments. And whereas the recent addition to the California Access Code relating to the term minimal protection dog is redundant to the service animal language contained in section 54.1 of the Civil Code, and whereas these dogs assist individuals with disabilities who become incapacitated as a result of their disabling condition, and whereas dogs whose sole purpose is to protect their handlers from possible physical assault are being classified as service dogs, and whereas this section is confusing to operators of public conveyances and proprietors of commercial establishments, not to mention the general public, and whereas the recent addition to the California Access Code relative to the term rescue dog indicates to the general public that search and rescue dogs are entitled to the same access rights as guide, signal, and service dogs. Now, therefore, be it resolved, and I'd just like to pause here to say that I will read this boilerplate for this first resolution, and then I will bypass it on subsequent resolutions. So that now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind, in convention assembled this 15th day of April, 2007, at the Arden West Hilton Hotel in the city of Sacramento, that this organization seek legislation to delete the terms minimal protection dogs and rescue dogs from the California Code of Regulations, section 54.1, I think it's a Roman numeral 3E, and the committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Second.
Okay. Do we have any discussion on the resolution? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? The resolution is adopted. All right. Now, Gay, before you go on to your second resolution, I just want to say, with respect to the topic of submitting resolutions, Kathy was not completely wrong and not completely right. The bylaws say that the resolutions committee is supposed to ask for them 30 days before the convention. So indeed, Kathy did have that 30-day right in there. But there is no deadline that I can find on when they're supposed to be actually submitted by.
I'll take back my abstention.
Thank you, Kathy. There soon will
okay. Be. Gabe, go ahead.
All right. Resolution 2007-A2 deals with the equal access to city council meetings. And this one was submitted to us by Catherine Fishbach. Whereas public meetings of city councils and other government entities provide an avenue for citizens to air their grievances and affect decisions in the community, and whereas these public comments may have more impact than any written communication, and whereas many city council and other public meetings take place at times that may not be compatible with local bus and paratransit schedules, reducing the ability of persons traveling on public transportation, parentheses, including those using paratransit service, and parentheses, to exercise their right to attend these meetings. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization urges all its chapters and affiliates to work with their local government entities to make it possible for all those who depend on public transportation or paratransit to exercise their rights to attend these public meetings. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second on the resolution. Is there any discussion? I hear someone. I have to get. Okay, that's Mike Keithley, I believe. Can we do something about that?
We are.
Thank you. Okay. Hearing no discussion, all those in favor of the resolution say aye. All opposed? Abstentions? The resolution is adopted. Gabe?
Okay, give me just one second here. Okay, resolution 2007-A3 deals with quiet cars, and it comes to us from Ken Stewart. Whereas motor vehicles, which can operate some of the time or all of the time, without the use of an internal combustion engine, are increasing in popularity rapidly, and whereas many pedestrians are accustomed to depending, at least in part, on the engine sound of a nearby vehicle to become aware of it, parentheses, including children, people who are visually impaired, pedestrians, momentarily distracted, and bicyclists, close parentheses, and whereas vehicle manufacturers have not yet begun installing a sound-emitting feature on these vehicles, in spite of the availability of simple, aesthetically acceptable, and low-cost means for doing so. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization demand that the state legislature enact a statute that establishes a firm deadline after which date any motorist operating one of these vehicles without any measurable sound emission shall be subject to a fine in the same manner that a motorist can be fined for the moving violation of driving without headlights after dark. The committee recommends to refer this back to the CAT committee, and I so move.
Second.
There's a motion, a second. Any discussion?
Mr. President.
Yes.
I just want to raise, I won't raise it as a point of order. I suppose I could, but I don't want to do that. But I just want to comment, I want to ask the chair of the committee how it comes to be that we're presenting resolutions from non-members of CCB.
He is a member.
He is a member?
Yes, he definitely is.
Okay. I stand corrected. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman,
Gabe. Yes, Kathy. Mitch, do you want to respond to that, or would you like me to?
Yes, all right.
Yes to which?
we cussed and discussed this resolution quite a bit, and we had problems demanding something of the legislature. If for no other reason, Kathy, than most of us disagreed with Mr. Stewart's premise that a sound-emitting device is already out on the market. We all know it took more than 10 years for there to be any kind of consensus following much research with regard to the appropriate sounds from accessible pedestrian signals. And we all know that much work and research is going to have to go into what sound we all can agree upon as being effective. So we felt that, rather than just not doing anything with this resolution, that we would refer it to the CAT committee. We also know that there have been resolutions on the national level, going back as far as 89, I think, when I chaired the committee, that are beginning to address this issue. We had an ACB resolution last year as well. So we felt the most appropriate action to take was to refer to the CAT committee, have Gene work both on the state level and nationally on this issue. Well, Kathy, we appreciate that, and I think you can be pretty sure that if we had decided to take any other action other than referring this back to the committee, that demand would probably have been changed to something along the lines of urge.
Is there more discussion? We have more discussion.
I think there's somebody towards the back on the right. Audrey.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're maybe applying a Band-Aid to a thing that needs a body cast. I think we ought to lobby the automobile industry and maybe any automobile manufacturers who are planning to have people drive in this country. If people are going to be run over by silent vehicles, it's not just going to be blind people. It's going to be able-bodied people who aren't looking. And their ears serve them as well as ours do us. They just aren't aware of it. This is a good time to help them understand that. So I think that we're going at it from the wrong end, maybe. If we get the cars manufactured, then we won't have to find drivers. It should come as part of the vehicle, no matter what it is. An identifying sound that can't be turned off by the driver, and that will be as much a part of the car as the noxious fumes that we get so mad at them about. Thank you.
Thank you, Audrey. Points are well taken. Yeah, this is a very, very complex issue. We actually had a CCV resolution as well. We've had a couple of them. Even last year, I think, was the most recent one. So it's very complex. Any further discussion? Okay, there's... Okay, we have one other...
Frank Mitchell from...
Get a mic.
Yeah, get to a mic, Frank.
We have a problem in many of the areas, not only with the silent cars, but with these silent Segways, wheelchairs, and scootabouts. In our neighborhood, we have at least four or five people who ride in these little electric scooters. It is a 25 mile an hour limit on the roads. These people are running silently up and down the roads and the sidewalks in excess of 25 miles an hour. They're small, they're hard to see, even for us visually impaired people. Sightly impaired people. And I think that all vehicles, all silent vehicles, as the person previous to me said, should have some type of sound on it, including electric wheelchairs and these electric scooters. And they go zipping up and down, and I personally have been almost run over by them. They put a little flag on the top of them, and they expect us to see them and get out of their way, because that is their attitude. And I think that for the safety of all the general public, especially the elderly, who I've seen nearly get run down. We need something. We definitely need this type of legislation for all silent vehicles, not just automobiles.
Thank you, Frank.
Mr. President.
Okay.
Mr. President.
I think Gene was first.
This is a motion to refer, guys.
I'm just going to, these are the last two because we've got to move on.
This is Gene Lozano. I actually, think we should end the discussion, but I just wanted to reassure everyone that the CAT committee will look at this. We all know and believe that this is a very important issue. We're not going to ignore this issue. We've been working on it. The approach is probably different. The intent of CCB the last 10 years plus on this and national, but I want to reassure people this is important. We will look at it. And I guess one little side note is it was mentioned the Segway. Well, the Segway legislation sunsets next year, and there will probably be some future legislation to put that back. So you're going to have to work closely with Dan Kaiser, because we're going to probably want to oppose it. So, I mean, this is a big issue. When the sunset legislation runs out and a new one introduced, we need you to be there at the Capitol. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we have a question.
This is Mike Hernandez. And when I was going to school, I learned that bicycles had a right to be in the street. And I really still believe that bicycles, scooters, motor scooters, even Segways should still be in the street. And I think that the sidewalk should be strictly for walking people only. And I just saw a sign not too long ago that it looks like that bicycles are allowed to be on the sidewalk. Is this true or not true?
In some localities, there are areas where a bicycle, for various reasons, some good, some bad, can be on a sidewalk. It's really more than we can get into at this point because it's a very complicated and local issue. Yes, Frank. It is correct, Frank. Your point of order is well taken. Okay, hearing no more discussion, all those in favor of the motion to refer, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? The motion is adopted. It will be referred to committee. Okay, Gabe, next resolution.
Okay, next resolution, 2007-A4, deals with WindowEyes training materials. Whereas GW Micro is one of the leading manufacturers of adaptive programs for people who are blind and visually impaired, and whereas WindowEyes is one of the most widely used screen reading software programs used by people who are blind or visually impaired, and whereas GW Micro recently released WindowEyes 6.0, and whereas no audio tutorials exist on either tape or CD for this release, and whereas the audio information on the CD that ships with WindowEyes, as well as the audio information available on the GW Micro website, is in an MP3 format which cannot be paused or rewound, and whereas people who are blind or visually impaired need accessible audio tutorials in order to most effectively become familiar with the program or to learn about new features available in new releases. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization strongly urges GW Micro to develop and produce accessible audio tutorials on tape and or CD. And be it further resolved that this resolution be forwarded to the American Council of the Blind for consideration at its 2007 summer convention. And the committee has no recommendation.
Mr. President?
Okay.
I move a due pass.
Okay. There's a motion. Is there a second? Okay. There's a motion on the floor. Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
And then I'd like the floor.
Okay.
This is Dan. Technically, the statement that you cannot rewind or forward using playing an MP3 file is incorrect because some programs like Winamp allow you to do that. And I believe there are some MP3 players, combo units and such, that allow you to go fast forward and rewind with MP3. So that statement is actually incorrect.
Okay, Chris, you're next.
I would like to see some words added to the resolve regarding accessible format that would specifically call out the production of a tutorial that uses the DAISY format.
Can you be a little clearer as to you're
yes.
objecting? You want?
No, I'm not objecting. I'm just saying it would strengthen this resolution a great deal if we specifically call out to GW Micro that accessible format is certainly important, but today real accessibility is coming with DAISY formatted material. Within a year, everything we get from NLS will be DAISY formatted. And that's the way the world is going.
Okay, does the seconder accept that as a friendly amendment that it would also include, okay, so it would
Chris,
also include DAISY format.
Mr. President, may I ask Mr. Gray a question? Would you consider it, do you want to change any of the wording there, or do you just want to add where it says after, after where it says tape and or CD, if we added something saying including DAISY format?
That'd be fine.
Okay, we need to get Kathy a mic, or get her to a mic, or maybe the twain shall meet.
We're doing it. We have a speed limit here of 2 miles an hour.
Yeah,
yeah, really.
Bring her up.
But Kathy, if you want a point of information, yeah, that means you're going to be on. You're going to be using Window Eyes soon, I assume, right?
I don't do Windows. The point that Dan raised, I'm wondering if that is incorrect, and if we're sure that's incorrect, shouldn't that be deleted from the resolution?
Thank you, Kathy.
It should.
Yeah, I certainly would accept that as a
okay,
friendly amendment.
That's been accepted.
I just assumed it was going to be done because Dan is correct, basically.
Okay, so are we striking that entire clause out of the...
As if it
well,
never existed.
Well, it's not totally wrong. I mean, it is pretty true that if you're using an MP3 file on a computer, you can't stop and start it again the next time you come back and things like that. Yeah, to a degree. Come on, folks. You know that you
but
can.
But I also think
if you're using
depend.
A tutorial, you're not probably going to know how.
Yep. But we will delete the clause just for the sake of not
just
having to tinker with it sufficiently to make it correct. Okay. Any other discussion? Okay, there is more. Where I'm going to ask for no more than 2 for and 2 against.
Maybe I missed a point. Has the person who submitted the resolution discussed the problem with GW Micro and not had cooperation?
Yes, they have.
Thank you.
They've said they were not going to do this. It's public information. Okay. Anyone else? Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor of the resolution... Of adopting the resolution, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstention? Okay, sorry. The noes again? Okay. Abstentions? Motion carries. Okay, Gabe?
Okay, resolution 2007-A5. Specialized services to the blind. And I forget where this one came to us from, sorry. Whereas SB 105 recognized that blind and visually impaired clients of the Department of Rehabilitation, DOR, are best served by programs which offer specialized services for blind and visually impaired consumers, and whereas DOR distributes over $3 million to community nonprofit agencies as part of the Title VII program for the purpose of providing services to older adults who have recently experienced vision loss, and whereas agencies which provide specialized programs for the blind and visually impaired and independent living centers are funded by the Title VII program, and whereas many agencies which provide specialized training to the blind and visually impaired are in areas which are also served by independent living centers, and whereas the Blind Advisory Committee, BAC, has recommended to DOR that rehabilitation counselors in Blind Field Services, BFS, refer BFS clients to agencies which provide BFS to agents, which provide specialized services to the blind and visually impaired instead of independent, independent living centers where both types of agencies are in the same area. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization urges the Department of Rehabilitation to implement the Blind Advisory Committee's recommendation of, as policy to be followed by Blind Field Services, BFS, counselors in order to ensure that BFS clients receive specialized services which will best improve their successful adaptation to visual impairment. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Second. Okay, there's a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Mr. Pomerantz.
I heard you stumbling over that last resolve. Maybe instead of a friendly amendment, instead of improve successful, I think facilitate might work a lot better there. Will best facilitate successful.
Sounds like a friendly
amendment.
In
order to best ensure that BFS BFS clients receive specialized services which will best
facilitate.
So improve to facilitate?
Yes. Yes.
So which will best facilitate their successful adaptation to visual impairment?
Yes.
Why not just take out the word best?
Remove best, which will facilitate.
Yeah, we don't want to be second best.
Yeah. Best is gone, facilitate is in.
There you go.
Okay. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor? Oh, there is. Okay.
Hi, it's Linda Perel. Just showing how well the Resolutions Committee worked here. I favor putting the best back in because we're comparing services between specialized services and independent living centers, and we think that the specialized services would best facilitate their adjustment.
So is it a consensus to put best back in?
That's the best thing to do.
Just as long as it isn't the most best.
We better get this right.
Okay, I think there's a consensus for better facilitate.
Better facilitate.
Want those folks out in ACB Radio Land to understand that we are truly a grassroots organization here. So, better facilitate is, I believe, the consensus
better
conclusion.
Better facilitate is the way it currently reads.
Any further discussion? Yes, I hear someone. Is it David? I'm not sure. David Jackson?
Get to a mic. I'd rather hear the word exemplifies best.
Well, I think you weren't given the majority of approval for that. So we're going to defacilitate that. Okay. Now, I don't hear any further discussion, so all those in favor of the resolution, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? The resolution is adopted. Okay. Gabe?
We are now on to resolution 2007A6, which deals with that evil company that Jeff was talking about a little while ago. Humanware Appreciation. And this came to us from Trish Leitz. Whereas the California Council of the Blind, at its spring 2006 convention, adopted a resolution addressing the need for improvements in product quality and customer support by Freedom Scientific and Humanware. And whereas over the past year, Humanware has made a concerted effort to enhance the quality of their products and customer support in order to better serve people who are blind and visually impaired in attaining independence. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization thank Mr. Phil Rantz, President of Humanware, U.S., and the entire Humanware team for their demonstrated commitment toward toward implementing these positive changes, and for establishing a good working relationship with CCB to make continued improvements for the consumer. And be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be forwarded to the Department of Rehabilitation. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. I'd like to ask about a possible friendly amendment. Is there a reason we couldn't include Richard Mander's name in there as well?
I think we should.
Okay, so you want to say, let me get back to that
Gabe,
point.
If you can't fill in the title, then I don't know who could, so I'm going to let you fill it in.
Yeah, no, but
in the appropriate way.
You want to say Mr. Phil Rantz and Mr.
Yes.
Richard.
I would put Mr. Mander's name first, since
right,
he's the
right, right.
Big
but put those at the same place.
Excellent
okay.
resolution.
We can do that.
Thank you.
Mr. President?
Yes.
I'll just make a very brief comment, because I know time is an issue here this morning. But I'd like CCB people to know, I've had two meetings with Dr. Richard Mander in the last month, and entirely unsolicited by me, he has mentioned both times during those meetings how valuable he found coming to CCB and how valuable he found CCB's resolution.
Thank you, Chris. And I'd just like to echo how well received I was and we were by Mr. Mander and how truly progressive he has been. So I think this is an outstanding resolution. If we're going to, say that things need to be improved, we have got to commend those who do the job. So good resolution. Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Okay. Gabe?
Thank you, Jeff. Resolution 2007-A7 is healthcare record systems. Whereas the need of privacy with respect to healthcare records, as well as the need for consumers to have access to their records have become important concerns in recent years, and whereas the federal government, through the enactment of the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act of 1996, recognized these concerns as well as the need for privacy exceptions to enhance the quality of care being provided and to ensure that state, county, and municipal governments have the information and information they need to prevent epidemics and other health disasters. And whereas progress is rapidly being made toward creating a paperless system for healthcare records, and whereas this system must similarly have protections against undue privacy invasions while ensuring adequate consumer access, and whereas such a paperless system, if designed improperly, could make it difficult, if not impossible, for blind and visually impaired consumers of health services to obtain access to their health care records, And whereas the state of California is already beginning to look at what its role should be in establishing this system, now therefore be it resolved that this organization actively participate in discussions with legislators and administrators concerning the establishment of a paperless health care record system so as to ensure that its design will enable blind and visually impaired consumers to have equal access to that system. And be it further resolved that this resolution be forwarded to the American Council of the Blind for consideration at its 2007 summer convention. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Okay, Chris, I'm going to ask you to handle the debate since I was the author.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All right.
There is a second. Is there discussion on the motion?
I just want to talk really quickly because time is... I think this is really an important issue. You know, they are rapidly moving along in these directions. I think in another 5 years, you know, it's going to be all paperless. Maybe not that quite that soon, but it's getting there. And, you know, we all know that of our access needs and how they are not being met in other areas, and there's no reason to necessarily expect that they'll be better met with respect to our being able to interface with these systems. So we've got to work on it.
Thank you, Mr. President. Any further discussion? Yes, please get to a microphone.
I'm sorry, this is Maria.
Yeah.
To be asking such a basic question, but I am understanding that this resolution is to make sure that we who have to use alternative screen readers, etc., that we're not locked out of their paperless system when they go to it and all their websites so we can access our health records, blah, blah, blah. Is that correct?
That's right.
Is that what we're doing here?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to be sure that that's what we're doing because...
Yeah. Let's say, for example, they have a website. They say, okay, you can go get your records. Just go to my website and you can pull it down. And that website is not accessible. Well, we're stuck.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if it's a problem because Kaiser does that already, and I belong there. And I haven't been able to get into it, but I'm not sure if I just haven't found the right, just haven't learned it. So, but yeah, I definitely need to get into that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any more discussion? Who calls for the floor? Liz?
Okay. I kind of work in the medical field a little bit. I kind of work in the medical field as a doctor's office. Maybe the doctor's offices, but I think anybody in Kaiser, to access their things has to have a password. Because if you don't, then anyone can see your records.
Correct.
So, and I think UC System all has it too. You have to be given a password. So, but keep going at it. That might be wrong in a lot of places.
Okay, thank you very much. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Abstentions? Resolution passes. Jeff, back to you.
Gabe, go ahead.
Geez, I feel like we're playing pinball here. Hot potato. Resolution 2007-A8, Rehab Contracts for Services. And this is being sponsored by Trish Leitz. Trish Leitz. Whereas the Department of Rehabilitation contracts with private agencies and individuals for services to persons who are blind or visually impaired pursuant to rules and regulations governing expenditure of case service contract funds, and whereas rates for services under such contracts are typically lower than the actual cost of the services being provided by the agency and or individual vendor, and whereas providing services at below cost
is unfair to all service providers and is particularly onerous to smaller agencies and individual providers. And whereas case service contract rates were frozen in March 2007, and it is not expected that the department will seek to increase these rates during the 2007-08 fiscal year, now therefore be it resolved that this organization urges the Department of Rehabilitation to increase case service contract rates to more accurately reflect actual provider costs, and be it further resolved that should the department be unwilling to implement such increases, that this organization seek legislative redress to resolve this inequity. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Okay, there's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, I heard a second. Any discussion?
I guess this is a question or a comment. I don't totally understand the intent or the content of the resolution. It's been my experience, and I realize that things change, but most agencies make out like bandits off the Department of Rehabilitation, or they did. Now, if indeed that the agencies in question are providing services below cost, why do they sign such a contract? That's my question.
Yeah. Well, we are. Oh, go ahead. Someone else wants the floor.
I think Trish wanted to. I think it was Trish.
I'll just give an example. At the Lyons Center, the orientation and mobility instructors are getting $40 an hour. We'll say at the Lighthouse or the Earl Baum Center, they get $70 an hour. And they did request to get a higher rate, but right now they can't get it. And they're in the Bay Area. It's very expensive. How do you pay your electricity? How do you pay your staff? And when those resources go away, then what do we have to refer people to? That's just an example.
Okay, any further discussion?
This is Shirley Manning. I work for the Junior Blind of America. We have a case service contract with the Department of Rehabilitation. In the last 4 years, our amount for our case service contract has been decreased twice, left level twice, and in the next fiscal year, we see a freeze. Our costs have definitely not decreased in the last 5 years. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion? Okay, I don't hear anyone, and there is a call for the question. All those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions?
Aye.
The resolution is adopted. I heard that abstention out there. We will, Gabe, go on to the next resolution.
Guess what, folks? We're now halfway through them. But two of those are the appreciation resolutions, so it's not as bad as all that. Hopefully. Resolution 2007-A9 is a resolution on resolutions. And this one is a committee resolution that I want to thank Winifred Downing for bringing to us. It's something we had discussed, and I appreciate the fact that she brought us some language to work with. Whereas individuals, chapters, and special interest affiliates routinely submit resolutions to the resolutions committee, and whereas that committee expends considerable time, thought, and energy preparing resolutions for presentation to the convention, and whereas the resolutions forwarded to the convention by the committee are read, usually on Sunday morning, for vote by the convention, and whereas resolutions adopted by the membership come to represent the policy and or position of the organization. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the CCB president be instructed to report specifically on the current status of each resolution, either in an article in the Blind Californian or in the president's report at the next convention. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? The motion is adopted. My comment, this is a great resolution. I apologize for being a little less diligent than I should have and needing the resolution at all.
But do it's an your outstanding job, resolution. Mr. President.
Okay, are we ready for the next resolution?
We are.
Okay, resolution 2007-A10 deals with Los Angeles County Access Services, Inc. And this one comes to us from the Greater Long Beach and the Greater Los Angeles chapters. Whereas the paratransit provider for Los Angeles County, Access Services, Inc., ASI, began offering steady rides as part of its service to persons with disabilities in the late 1990s, and whereas these steady rides were implemented for persons using this service when going to a specific location one or more days per week at fixed times, and whereas recent policy modifications have been added, changing the time required to cancel a steady ride from 2 hours before the scheduled ride to 10 p.m. the previous evening, and whereas several late cancellations will result in a temporary suspension of service, and whereas this policy change creates a hardship for persons using access services because they may become ill or have other unforeseen circumstances arising after the 10 p.m. cancellation deadline, now therefore be it resolved that this organization write a letter urging Access Services, Inc., to rescind or modify this policy, and be it further resolved that this resolution be sent to the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors, the Los Angeles County Metropolitan Transit Authority Board of Directors, all ASI board members, and the ASI Community Advisory Committee. Committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Okay. There's a motion and a second. Is there discussion on the resolution?
Mr. Chair, a friendly amendment. And I've dealt with this, but I'm sorry I didn't raise it last night. And I've struggled with this, but it is officially transportation, not transit. And I wish they'd change their name officially to Metro to solve all of that.
Los Angeles County.
Okay, there's a...
Can I hold on just a second? Mitch, you said it's transportation?
Go ahead, Kathy, I'll repeat it. Kathy's comment was she wonders if it would be of value to send it to the newspapers. We will discuss it with the local folks in the area if this resolution is adopted, and if they decide that they want to do with it, then they can do so. I think that's probably the wisest thing.
Just
Mr. President?
Okay, we have, well, Jerry's at a mic, so is that okay? Let him go first.
I agree with the spirit and the letter of the resolution, but just as a point, a friendly amendment, I believe in the last whereas clause, the penalty for late cancellation is a possible suspension to the steady ride service, not to access services. And I don't think we should expect that access will assume that. They might use that as a way to semantically cloud things up and delay a response. So I would suggest that the last whereas be amended to say suspension to the steady ride service.
Okay, Mr. Metz.
Yes, sir. The only thing I was going to add to what Kathy said, the newspaper is a great idea. However, I think we first need to give them a chance to respond to what we're trying to get, and then we can utilize the newspapers as our ace in the hole.
Okay, can I ask a question? As the one who has to write this letter?
I'm sorry?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
And that is... Do those of you who have submitted, whoever the author of this resolution is, do you have a copy of this so that we know exactly what it is that they are and aren't?
I will get it for you.
Okay, because I would hate to mischaracterize.
No, we have the letters. Everyone that has the service received those letters, so
okay.
I will get it for you.
Okay.
Mr. President, can I check with Mr. Arcall on his friendly amendment? I just want to say suspension of steady ride services. Does that work for everyone?
Yeah.
Hold it, or let's have some order. Yeah, I assume that steady and subscription mean the same thing.
The steady ride is specifically if you're going, let's say as an example, going to work, you're going every day at the same time, coming home at the same time.
Yes, it's just called, it's called a different term in some other places that's called. So, yes, we have Gene and then we have Keith. Let's try to keep it brief, folks.
The legal term in the regulations is subscription. So we should use it.
Subscription instead of subscription.
All right, I think that's a friendly amendment. Let's go ahead and do that.
That's not what they call it, though.
All right. Okay. I'll change my ruling. If it is not a friendly amendment, if somebody wants to make it as an amendment, you'll have to do it. Because the makers of the resolution do not, and the committee, I guess, does not accept it.
Well, look at the letter to you that shows exactly what it says.
All right.
Why not have subscription?
Well, we're going to. Keith is next, and Barbara, if you really want to make a comment, which you probably will because your comments are usually pretty important, you'll be after Keith.
My comment is that steady ride or subscription ride is really a premium ride, and that's not mandated by the regulations in the federal laws.
Hold it. Ken, you're a little out of
And way. So whatever Access decides to do, that's their policy, not federal or state regulations governing paratransit.
Okay. Barbara's next. I'm going to take two more people after Barbara because we got to move on.
Yeah. Subscription and put steady ride in parentheses, and that would handle it.
Yes.
But, again, that is not a premium ride. That is a regular ride that is helping the different services make a
okay. Is there any objection to accepting Barbara's compromise with subscription and then steady in parentheses?
Yes.
I hear no objection. I will consider that a friendly amendment. Okay. Do we have any more? One more comment. Okay. Good. I will now call up the question. All those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Abstentions? All right, the resolution is adopted. Gabe?
I abstain.
Too late. Barbara, too late. Okay, Gabe.
Resolution 2007-A-11 deals with BEP vendor locations, staff position. And this is submitted by the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California. Whereas the Business Enterprise Program for the Blind, BEP, has failed to develop quality locations for licensed Randolph Shepherd vendors, including newly certified graduates, and whereas this benign neglect has resulted in an estimated 50% decrease in the number of currently available vending locations, and whereas a designated location development person does not exist at the staff services analyst level or above, and whereas such a position requires the skills needed to identify potential locations and conduct negotiations with federal, state, and local entities for the establishment of additional BEP locations, now therefore be it resolved that this organization urges the Department of Rehabilitation to immediately pursue creation of a permanent position at the level of staff services analyst or above for development of quality locations for the business enterprise program. Committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Second. Okay, there's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? The resolution is adopted. Okay, Gabe, go ahead.
Okay, resolution 2007-A-12 is BEP Program Manager. And this is also submitted to us by RSVC. Whereas the growth of the Business Enterprise Program for the Blind, BEP, has been stagnant for many years, resulting in failure to place qualified persons who are blind or visually impaired in remunerative employment, and whereas the position of BEP Program Manager requires a specialized set of business skills, and whereas previously the Department of Rehabilitation, DOR, has utilized in-house selection for this position, and whereas it is anticipated that the current BEP Program Manager will be retiring in September 2007. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization urges the urges the Deputy Director, Blind Field Services, to request the State Personnel Board to authorize a national recruitment effort to fill the BEP Program Manager position. And be it further resolved that the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California Executive Committee and the California Vendors Policy Committee be included in the final interview and selection process for this position. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Mr. Chair.
Okay, we have a motion and a second, and we have Dan Kaiser who would like discussion on the resolution.
Yeah, my only problem with the resolution is the speculative statement at the end about September 2007 retirement date. That's not written in stone. I would like to see more generalistic language put in saying, on future retirement or something like that.
How about would in later 2007 would be retiring in the latter part of 2007?
I thought it was
Well, it's not because we know it's going to happen. So in the near future, in the near future, is that acceptable, folks? That was Kathy's suggestion. I wouldn't go immediate. Near is probably better.
And
Gabe, can you read the resolved then question so we can dispense with it?
Give me just one second here and let me find that.
These presidents that dictate to these chairs to find the resolved at a moment's notice.
Okay, it is one of the whereases. It says, whereas it is anticipated that the current BEP program manager will be retiring in September 2007. And from what we understood from the representatives of RSVA or RSVC, if they're in the room here, we understand that he has announced that he is going to planning on retiring in September 2007, and that was the reason for putting that date in there. As Mitch pointed out, the anticipated retirement doesn't necessarily mean he's going to retire. It's just that he has announced that we're anticipating it and we're trying to address it.
Why not just take September out?
I have a suggestion. How about just upon retirement of current candidate or something like that?
No, but that's not the way the clause is heading.
Just take September.
So take September
just
out.
Take that out.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah. Okay. It is anticipated that the current director will be program manager will be retiring
in 2007.
I don't think that's
okay. We'll just say in 2007.
Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Abstentions? Okay, the motion's adopted. Okay, now, two things. First, on my left, your right, the very back of the room, in all sorts of formats, we have materials from the Access Board and on Section 8 from our presentations this weekend. So feel free to go get those on your way out. Now, as I said, today, as this is Rick Acacia's last convention as our gentleman in charge of our audio. He has done an outstanding job. And Rick, you want to say a few words?
Thanks. Yeah, I have to go. This is my sixth convention. And I've really enjoyed coming here every couple times a year and seeing all the familiar faces. And it's going to get a little busy for me. I'm going to start the credential program to become a math teacher in high school level. So it'll be a little busy for me. But I'll still keep it in my mind to see if I can continue to be involved in some way with whatever time I have left. So who knows? Could see me back here one day.
Thank you, Rick. Rick's really one of the family over the past 3 years. This is great. Thank you. Okay, Gabe, back to you.
Okay, Resolution 2007-A13. Is Medi-Cal coverage of accessible talking glucose monitors. And this was submitted to us by Jerry Arakawa. Whereas ongoing periodic measuring of blood glucose levels is a critical element in minimizing one's risk of developing serious complications attributed to diabetes, and whereas many people who are blind or visually impaired rely on talking glucose monitors, i.e. monitors fitted with synthesized speech devices, allowing people who are blind to hear their glucose levels, assisting them in maintaining appropriate blood sugar levels. And whereas the only glucose monitor currently covered by Medi-Cal's formulary is the AccuCheck VoiceMate, which is no longer being produced, effectively eliminating any accessible monitor covered under Medi-Cal's formulary. And whereas a talking glucose monitor called the Advocate is currently the only accessible monitor available, and whereas this monitor is low cost, parentheses, approximately $40, close parentheses, bilingual in English and Spanish, easy to use, has been used in the United States with success by people who are blind, and is FDA approved, and whereas the test strips utilized for this, or for the Advocate, are also low cost, and whereas both the Advocate and the associated glucose test strips are covered under Medicare's formulary, now therefore be it resolved that this organization direct its president to contact the State Department of Health Services to urge that the Advocate meter and its associated test strips be covered under Medi-Cal's formulary. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Second. There's a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, one quick point of correction. I don't know if the resolutions committee worked on this technically, in one of the Ruero's clauses, the Advocate is not the only talking blood glucose monitor. There's at least another one called the Prodigy, which is slightly different, and also has talking speech. The reason I left that out is because the Advocate has a number of advantages over the Prodigy meter, as I listed out. I'm okay with the resolution as it is, but that's the correction.
It's not clear either. Is that the
Mr. President, I rise with some objections to this resolution. I think that the idea behind it is good, and I don't think that I object to the resolve clause. But to suggest that the Advocate or the Prodigy are accessible goes far beyond what is real. And anybody who reads the American Foundation for the Blind's magazine Access World last issue knows that many, many features on both of these meters are completely inaccessible to blind people. I don't mind saying that blind people need to have some kind of talking meter, but I would move to strike the whereas clause indicating that the Advocate is accessible and or easy to use.
Okay, there's a motion. Is that there's a motion and a second? To the resolutions committee, is that viewed, well, I guess to the maker, which would be Jerry, is that viewed as a friendly amendment?
No, only because although I appreciate what Chris is saying, the problem with Medi-Cal is if we look basically because of the reasons I stated, if you're a newly diagnosed diabetic and if you receive Medi-Cal, you're pretty much stuck. Medi-Cal doesn't cover any meters or strips. So to my rationale was that with its flaws, it's basically the only thing we have at this point. And at future points, we may urge DHS to look at other meters as they become available. But my concern is that Medi-Cal, knowing or accepting this premise that Chris just raised, might just say, well, when something comes up, we'll look at it. There's something out on the market now. flaw though it may be.
Okay, so the motion on the floor is to strike the whereas. You want to read the whereas that you believe is to be stricken, Gabe, as the chair, so we make sure we're discussing the appropriate amendment?
Yeah, give me just a second to make sure I have the right clause here that Chris is talking about. Okay, I believe this is the one. I believe I have the clause that Chris is questioning. It says, whereas this monitor is low cost, approximately $40, bilingual in English and Spanish, easy to use, has been used in the United States with success by people who are blind, and is FDA approved.
So, Chris,
I could be happy if you just strike the easy to use.
Oh, that's right.
Something that isn't accessible, in my mind, we shouldn't say is easy to use. And you know, a number of us have been asking for some time about the FDA approval for the Prodigy and the Advocate. I certainly hope that you're correct.
Okay. Actually, may I read this the way that I think Chris is asking us to amend it? It would say, whereas this monitor is low cost, approximately $40, bilingual in English and Spanish, has been used in the United States with success by people who are blind, and is FDA approved. Is that acceptable, or is that cover what you want?
I can live with that.
Jerry, can you live with that?
Jerry is
okay.
Because I think that still captures the intent of the resolution.
Okay, Gene is at the mic. We now have the amended resolution.
I'm not opposing the resolution. I just would like a clarification on something. I believe I'm a member of the Resolutions Committee, and I wasn't able to be here when this discussion took place on this resolution, but I thought about a year ago, last September, that Kenneth Frask had introduced a resolution that was very similar to this one, and I was wondering if the Resolutions Committee looked at that resolution to see what are the differences, because even the comments that Chris just made, I thought were reflected in the resolution that got passed about a year ago. Well, I thought we took out any company's name, and we were talking about what we wanted to see done.
Yes, I believe last year we were saying that there wasn't truly any accessible glucometer, and we needed to work on it.
I think Mr. you're correct, Gene, and we did not look at those.
Yes.
Mr. President?
Ken, you're first.
I think
one more, hopefully.
Yeah, Artis is behind me. I think one thing that we need to think of, it is more usable, the Advocate by a blind person, for the purpose that if in using the Prodigy, which I currently use, you have to ask someone to read the code of the strips off of each bottle you use, and you have to be able to set it as and on the Advocate it does do its own coding when you put the strips in.
Okay, Barbara. And then Artis.
Okay.
And that's it.
I was just going to mention that the resolution last time was dealing with accessibility of glucometers, whereas this one is asking that Medi-Cal cover the costs of it.
Thank you. Barbara?
Yes. It is my understanding that the Prodigy now does the automatic recognition of the tape numbers, and that the Advocate does not. And I think some research, I think we should table this and do it.
Are you making a motion or not, Barbara? If you are, you're going
to
make it.
I think that the information needs to be checked, because I believe wrong information is being included in the resolution.
All right. I haven't heard a motion, so therefore, and I hear no one up to discuss the resolution, so I'm going to ask all those in favor of the resolution to say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Abstentions?
Abstentions.
Okay. The resolution has been adopted. Gabe.
Okay, our next one is going to be 2007 A14.
Yes, yes, Kathy? Kathy wants me to convey a point of information. Or Gabe, not sure which.
In this resolution just passed, would it be, could the chair of the resolution committee check to make sure that the information is accurate?
We can certainly check, but we have to do something with this resolution. We passed it, so we have to do something with it. We can certainly check factually, but we can't bury the resolution.
Mr. President, I think the resolution is essentially factually correct. What we're really engaging now in is a debate about efficacy, not about accuracy.
And I'm sure we will check, Kathy, to make sure that the facts are correct there before we take action.
We'll do so.
Okay. Are we ready to move on?
Yes.
2007 A14 is state workers' salary increase. And this came to us from Ed and Christy Crespin are the ones that submitted this to us on behalf of other state workers. And it says, whereas persons who are blind or visually impaired have been encouraged to enter state service, and whereas employees in state service are paid lower salaries than those in similar fields, in both the private, for-profit, and federal sectors, and whereas Assembly Bill 489 Calderon has been introduced to attempt to rectify state workers' pay inequities based on salary survey and fair labor market wage percentages, and whereas this legislation is sponsored by AFSCME, which is the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, Local 2620, the union that represents social workers, rehabilitation counselors, and psychologists, professions in which blind and visually impaired persons have worked successfully for decades. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization forward a letter in support of AB 489 to Assemblymember Calderon, and be it further resolved that the Director of Governmental Affairs attend hearings as needed to offer support for this legislation. The committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
There's a motion and a second. Discussion on the resolution.
Mr. President?
Yes. To a mic.
This is Gene Lozano. I would ask if the chair of the resolutions committee would include, when they talk about state employees, the employees, state employees who are in post-secondary education, because we are not included or considered often as the mainstream state employees. So therefore, when any agreements affect regular state personnel issues, it doesn't apply to the community colleges, the UC, or the state university system. So include us all if you're going to do this.
Gene, I'm not sure this can be done in this resolution because this relates to a particular bill that doesn't deal with CSU system employees, and I don't know that we...
Well, I'm saying amending it to include all state employees, including those in post-secondary education. Because those are classifications that are in the...
I don't disagree with the equities. I'm just not sure that that's something that will be done. But nonetheless, it's certainly a legitimate thing to ask.
Okay.
Yes, Kathy.
Mr. Chair, please repeat Kathy's statement for
okay.
the record.
Okay. Kathy essentially was making the same point I did, a little bit differently. Her point was that really we're supporting the bill as written and to what it currently does, and that if we want CSU involved, which we should, we need another resolution maybe next time to seek to move on that and get that done.
Mr. Chair, could you relay for me, Dan?
Yes, I will do that.
Okay. How about language put in that we should seek to amend the inclusion of the CSUs, which really means...
Post-secondary education.
Right, post-secondary education.
It's a different right. idea. It's a different idea.
I think they're two different issues.
All right, let Dan have the floor.
Because it would give me the opportunity to simply check with the author and the stakeholders to include post-secondary education. If they say, yeah, it's in there, no big deal. Why do you need a different resolution?
Because you don't want to try to get them to lose their bill because you're putting something
but seeking
in
isn't
want.
Diluting the bill. It's only seeing if you can do it. And then they're either going to say yes or no. It's not necessarily hostile. Right.
The alternative method for this is just have on the understanding that Dan can always talk to the author about whether this is a possibility. We don't have to actually amend the resolution to do this because I don't think anybody disagrees with the efficacy of doing this.
Yeah. And when Dan's participating in meetings supporting this, the what the union is asking us to do, then he can also bring up the issue of post-secondary state employees.
Mr. President.
All right. Dirk, yes.
My thought is that this should not be given just to one person, but should be given to our great governor and our great speaker of the assembly and our great president of our senate also.
Dirk, it will definitely be relayed wherever it needs to go. That's common procedure. Thank you very much.
But the resolution as presently stated has it going only to one person.
Yes, but we, as a matter of course, will make sure that those in the leadership get, as needed, and they would need it in something like this, get copies of letters that we need to address. So that's a very good point. Okay. No further discussion. All those in favor of the resolution, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Abstentions. Okay, Gabe.
And before we move on to our last two resolutions, I'd like to ask Mitch Pomerantz to find a mic and speak to an issue that arose a day or so ago and that we are going to try to address here.
Thank you, Gabe. Yesterday afternoon, there was a presentation made by Bob Humphreys regarding the situation with vendors nationally. And thanks to Kathy, she proposed that, or she asked Bob, I guess, what could we do? And Bob said, well, a motion supporting our efforts, the efforts of a group called the Blind Entrepreneurs Alliance would be very useful. And Bob prepared some language, And I must say, and I really have to let folks know that my wife did a yeoman job deciphering Mr. Humphrey's handwriting, along with the assistance of Robert Wendt.
At 3 o'clock this
morning. At 3 o'clock this morning. So, yeah, so the result is the motion that the resolution's chair will now read for your consideration.
And the motion is that CCB pledge to make every effort feasible to assist the Blind Entrepreneurs Alliance and National Blindness Organizations to preserve the Randolph Shepherd Blind Vendors Facility Program through coordination and participation in educating the California senators and key U.S. representatives through any other actions the board deems reasonable and necessary.
Okay.
There's a
motion second. And a second. Any discussion?
Dan Kaiser again.
Please. Okay, I'll do it.
Why does it just say California senators and not California legislature?
I assume it's a national motion for dealing with the program on the federal level. No, it's, I assume it means Boxer and Feinstein.
Oh, I'm sorry. You left. I had 4 hours sleep.
That's right. So,
that's more than some of us got.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Excellent. Abstentions?
Aye.
The motion is adopted. Outstanding motion. Thank you. Okay. Gabe.
Okay, hopefully it gets a little bit easier from here. Resolution 2007-A15, Volunteer Appreciation. Be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind and Convention assembled this 15th day of April 2007 at the Arden West Hilton Hotel in the city of Sacramento,
no, I didn't,
that this organization express its deepest gratitude and sincerest thanks to the volunteers, including the AT&T Pioneers and the nursing students from California State University, Sacramento, who have made this convention possible. And the committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Second.
There's a motion and a second for this absolutely fantastic resolution. Wonderful volunteers. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? The motion's adopted. Let's hear it for the volunteers. And I also want to mention two other people involved in this. Gene, who worked so hard to solicit volunteers, Gene Lozano, and Marilyn, who put all, a lot of it together, gets the grid, you know, make sure we got the sign-up sheet working. So there's a lot of work involved, and it all works out really well. Okay.
Mr. President?
Yes.
This is Donna Seliger from Iowa. I would like to commend the Resolutions Committee for their hard work and diligence on all these wonderful resolutions. And I would ask if I could have permission to have someone email the resolutions to me, and could I use them where applicable in Iowa?
You certainly could. When we get them done, we'll get them a copy emailed to you, Donna. Absolutely.
Mr. President, are we having a resolution on the
whole? I believe we have one more, but did you want me to not recognize Donna?
No, I was going to go up to the microphone. I was going to start early.
Oh, okay. No, we have one more.
Resolution 2007-A16, Hotel Appreciation. Be it resolved by the California Council of Blind and Convention Assembly this 15th day of April 2007. Be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind and Convention assembled this 15th day of April 2007 at the Arden West Hilton Hotel in the city of Sacramento that this organization express its appreciation for the services provided prior to and during its spring 2007 convention by the staff of the Arden West Hilton Hotel, and be it further resolved that the president of this organization forward this resolution to the hotel management. Committee recommends it do pass, and I so
hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Now, Kathy.
Mr. Chairman, I am Mr. President and Chairman and all of those you involved. I know that one member already this morning had tax added to their bill. Every time we negotiate with these hotels, we tell them that we are paying everything and they are not to charge tax. When they do, and they did it down in the Southern California to me last time, it took me 6 months to get it straightened out. And now this morning already, they, if I hadn't mentioned to Eric that he'd better look at his bill and go back, they did it to him on his thing. Now, I think that there is two things we need to do. I think we need to write a letter if we don't want to say anything in this resolution about it. We must see to it that they understand they can't do this. And furthermore, I think that last night that noise next door was incredible. They knew we were coming a year sooner, and while they've given good service and their food's better than it used to be, these hotels have got to get with it and know that when they make a reservation a year in advance, they need to get some soundproofing in their walls or do something.
Kathy, we have some other complaints as well, like the Resolutions Committee getting their room taken away from them temporarily. And your points are very well taken, and we will act on them. Thank you.
Call for the question.
Yes. Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
Okay, we got the abstentions on the record. I believe, Gabe,
Mr.
is that in
Mr.
the report?
President, that does conclude the report of the Resolutions Committee.
Thank you for the outstanding work. We are so lucky in California to have a Resolutions Committee of the stature that we do year in and year out. And I will entertain a motion for acceptance of the report of the Resolutions Committee.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The report has been adopted. Okay. One thing that I'm going to try and do a much better job at, and we've talked about it, and I haven't really followed through sufficiently, is to make sure we have better committee updates. And I'm going to have to figure out how to get those, whether we want to do them in the BC like we used to, perhaps. But we need to do that. However, today, if there are any committee chairs that want to briefly give some information to us, I will now recognize them.
Mr. President?
Yes, Artis.
Okay, I just briefly wanted to mention that at the membership seminar Saturday morning, we discussed the possibility of having a membership listserv, and they concurred. So in order for a membership listserv to happen, I need to tell all the chapters to get one person's name to me, and we can make sure we set up a membership listserv for your membership person in your chapter. That way we can put information back and forth between chapters to help each other grow our chapters. And I thank all those who participated in the membership seminar. That was great.
Thank you, Artis. We're also going to be, and it's been a little later than I meant to, but we're also going to be setting up a president's listserv as well for chapter president. So, we have another committee chair?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Lozano. By the way, let's thank our convention committee chair for another great agenda. Okay, Gene.
Somebody from the floor is asking.
We have questions for artists.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I would like you to point out that everybody doesn't use the listserv. What are you going to do about your presidents and committees that do not?
We're going to make sure, for example, with the presidents that we do get the information out to our presidents that are not do not have email, but the presidents themselves decided that they wanted a listserv that they could communicate to one another. There are not too many chapter presidents don't have it. A few do, but it was their decision, Kathy, so I'm not going to veto them.
And I think the reason the membership committee thought it was a good idea, too, is because some people come to conventions, and I always make accessible materials for everyone that comes to the seminars, but there's sometimes people like to communicate between the conventions and for as many as possible to participate. And each chapter can make sure that they appoint someone that is computer literate to be on that listserv.
Okay, thank you, everyone.
Mr. President?
Is this a question for Artis, Bernice?
Yes.
Okay.
This year, the announcement did not go out for the Chapter of the Year Award, and I wanted to know what the status or the intent would be for the future.
Oh, okay. A good question, because I had talked to her earlier. We had forgotten to put information into the BC.
Okay, Ann Kaiser.
Somebody's tripping over the mic here. Just a second.
Sorry.
Okay. Yes, we forgot to put the information in the Blind Californian early enough for people to put their chapter bids for the Chapter of the Year Award. So we've decided, Rhonda and I discussed it, and we are going to give two Chapter of the Year Awards next spring, and we're going to put it in this coming membership committee article and tell chapters that have done things this past year and this year to submit the two-year recommendations. And if we have enough qualifying winners, well, then we'll give two awards next year.
Okay, thank you. Ann?
Yes, may I assume that this would apply to special interest affiliates as well?
Yes. Every chapter.
I just wanted
eligible.
To make sure, because chapters were mentioned, and I just wanted to make sure it was all inclusive. Thank you.
Okay. Gene?
Okay. Two chair reports. Convention committee. I would very much appreciate, and the committee would also, any ideas, thoughts, comments that you have regarding this convention, positive as well as negative issues, concerns. I hope that the construction by the swimming pool was not a problem for the dog guide users. I wasn't aware of that. Work was being done. Good. And we would also like to have input on programming for the next convention in the fall. Ideas you have, I've already received a few. We very much would appreciate getting any ideas. And you could go ahead and email them to me, Lozano, E-L-O-Z-A-N-O-E, @csus.edu. Thank you. CAT Committee. There's a lot of things, and I'm not going to go over those things. But as you may recall, a few years ago, we were in a case against the California State Department Parks and Recreation for access at state facilities. That was included parks, museums like the Railroad Museum here in town, and so forth. Two things. One is that one of the things that was holding up the completion of the agreement was the development of a policy on providing some kind of warning device around the fire rings at accessible campsites. We've come up with something, and that has been drafted, and we're still waiting for Parks and Recreation to come out and say yay on it, but it looks like there shouldn't be any problems in that. Hopefully, next convention we can share that with you. The other thing is, I guess, you know, when you go through these claims, and I think this document was like over 100 pages of legal terminology, and I maybe misread something there, but I assumed that when they talked about monitoring what was being done in this document, that it meant that when the legal staff were monitoring facilities, not for only wheelchair access, they would be also monitoring for the blind and visually impaired. There seems to be a little difference between us and the legal staff. Apparently, the way is if there's issues we have, the way they're going to be caught is if any of us go into a state park or a museum, find something that, or learn that something has just been recently done. For instance, let's say you went to a museum that had a brand new video and you said, wait a minute, that has no narrative description. Well, it's supposed to have it. We need to hear that. Then we can take it to legal staff. They're not going to be monitoring to capture those things. So we are going to have to be the police monitoring it. So that would be helpful if you can funnel that information to our president or myself so that we can then take it on to other people. And I guess that just one other little thing, just a, I was asked to be on the Greyhound Lines Access Committee, met in Dallas a few weeks ago, and I received input from many of you that sometimes when you needed assistance at a station to get aboard a bus, get pre-boarding assistance, and some of you have been told by the agents there at the Greyhound facilities or what they refer to as their independent sales contractors. Well, there's about 2,100 depots. 84 actually belong to Greyhound. The rest are all contracted, the rest of them, and don't have to follow all quite the same standards. Anyway, the thing is, if you need that assistance, you do not have to call 48 hours in advance to get that assistance. You can come into the depot, ask for the assistance. If you reach a person who says that's not correct, then you insist that they get in contact with Greyhound's ADA compliance office. They have an office. It's not a public phone number. It's for the company. It operates 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. They are on call, all staff, in the evenings, just like the old way of doctors. So when an issue comes up, it could be a Greyhound breaking down, some issue related to ADA compliance, bus driver has a cell phone, they're to call that office. So this issue comes up, you do not have to be told you can't receive service. You can disagree and ask and insist that they contact the compliance office. Thank you.
Thank you, Gene, for all that great work and information. Okay, before I recognize Melody, so that things don't get away from us, let's just take a moment to congratulate and express our appreciation for our staff. First, for Dan Kaiser for all the work he's done, including streaming today's session. Secondly, boy, Ed Branchy, he's the only person I know that gets like three or four places at once, literally, and I don't know how he splits his body up like that. But he does that. And, you know, many crises get, dealt with. And finally, and there's a high likelihood this will not be her last convention, so we're not saying goodbye. But nonetheless, this is certainly a watershed moment, and what more can we say that hasn't already been said? I don't know, but there's really no words we can say for the love that we, every one of you and me, feel, and I think vice versa for Marilyn Kohler. So let's thank her for all her fine work. Okay, Melody, you're
up here. I just wanted to let you know that the Hate Crimes and Domestic Violence Task Force is going to be doing the domestic violence training in the spring of 08. We've already started working on it. So those of you that weren't able to attend it in Long Beach last convention should be able to attend it up here in the north in 08.
Okay, thank you. That's great. Okay, any other committee chairs? Do we have any old business? Really old business? Okay, hearing none. Do we have any new business?
Mr. President?
Yes, I think I hear Ann.
Okay, you're going to kill me, but I was reminded by the wonderful GDUC treasurer that, and it's, this does harken back to a resolution, unfortunately, but all I wanted to do is do a very simple correction, or actually an insertion on A15 regarding the volunteers. We totally need to mention the wonderful local puppy raiser clubs that have kept our relief area absolutely awesomely clean. So that we have to do that. Thank you.
It will be done. And they do a great job. There's no doubt.
I'll provide all their names of the clubs. So.
Yeah, we'll handle that. And I just want everyone to know that we get certificates out for the past several conventions. We have gotten certificates out individually to volunteers. We really try and do what we can to show our appreciation for each and every volunteer that comes our way. So, and we do get repeats. We get many repeats. Okay, I've said enough. New business. Any more new business? The convention. There's no other business to come before the convention. Do I hear a motion to adjourn? There's a motion or a second. All in favor say aye. Opposed? Abstentions? The spring 2007 convention of the California Council of the Blind is hereby adjourned. And we'll see you October 25th to 28th at the Four Points Sheraton.